Beneath piped-in bird calls and animal sounds, visitors to the show gather around an eye-catching model of Jenny, a small young orangutan wearing a dress, thanks to the keepers at the London Zoo in the 1830s. In a sense, it was Jenny that got Charles Darwin into trouble. He visited her while writing The Origin of Species.
He watched it very carefully to see how similar its behavior was to a human child.
Randall Keynes is Darwin's great-grandson.
A year later, he had his own first son, and he started watching the son to look to see how close he was to the orangutan. He was completely unafraid of the possibility that they would prove to be close. He saw that as something exciting about human and animal nature.
Dressing primates like people is one thing. Saying we're descended from them is another. After 150 years, many people are still not persuaded. Curator and paleontologist Niles Eldridge says Western civilization still has not metabolized the change in mindset that Darwin's discoveries demand.
Some people really do not like the idea that we are connected to the natural world. They want to see us as being created by God in God's image. And most religious people that I know, including a lot of scientists, do not feel that there's a conflict there. But some people insist there is.
But the show's main drama comes not from the controversy, but from Darwin's life and studies of nature. If you're not familiar with his biography, there are many surprises. His mediocre record as a young student, his father's letter opposing his expedition on the HMS Beagle, his plan to become an Anglican minister after returning, represented on display by the Bible he brought with him to Latin America. Eldridge's favorite moment in the show is an entry in Darwin's multi-volume journal.
He has on notebook B, page 36, he says, "I think," and he draws the first evolutionary tree of life. That's thrilling. That does really remind me of when we had our Einstein exhibit. We could see, you could see E equals MC squared right in his own handwriting, you know. So this, "I think," in the tree, that is absolutely, to me, spine-tingling, thrilling.
Many people, of course, marvel more at the show's animal pleasures.
Poisonous newts, the most poisonous animal in the world. We always wonder, why would a little animal like that be able to kill 10 human beings?
A little skeleton of some creature, something that Darwin looked at, and he thought, wow, that really images a human body.
Evolution of the skulls. Reading it in the books, you really don't appreciate it when you see it in person. It's great.
Museum contributor Christopher Raxworthy says he hopes visitors will get a powerful sense of Darwin's thoroughness and curiosity, and of how fact-based science contrasts with faith-based religion. Raxworthy takes issue with intelligent design, a theory which allows for evolution by natural selection, but says it must be guided by a supernatural creator. He and others say the problem with, quote, putting God in the gaps is...
That's not the way that scientists proceed. When we find complicated issues or structures, things that we can't understand, we ask questions and we develop hypotheses and we actually test them. But the whole progress of science is specifically to go after those gaps in our knowledge and fill them.
And yet, many people were still willing to put God in the gaps, even after viewing a succession of skeletons and a menagerie of moths. Margaret Wengren from Lexington, Massachusetts, thinks it's absurd to read the Book of Genesis literally, but she thinks natural selection still needed some guidance from above.
I think there had to be some sort of intelligence that made evolution come to pass. It's all one little bundle, but it's not the kind of intelligent design that plunked it down in a week.
What kind of intelligence?
The kind we will never find a name for. And I don't think all the world's Darwins will ever find a real name for it either.
Many visitors to the Darwin Show shared Wengren's opinion that God's role in creation should not be a biology class discussion. But several others said, why not teach both and let the chips fall where they may? As long as the teachers are true believers in science. For WNYC, I'm Fred Mogul.
Now the Lord seen some sinning, and it gave him pain. He says, "Stand back, I'm gonna make it rain." He says, "Hey, brother Noah, I tell you what to do. Build me a floating zoo. and bring some of those green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as your barn, don't you forget my unicorn.